And it is an absolute joy to get to be here with you on this Sunday morning in this good Sunday school class. Aren't you glad and thankful for a church that still does Sunday school, where we can come together and learn the Word of God? And I'm glad that for all that God is doing, I walked in, you know, Sunday school, everybody's still a little bit tired sometimes. And I seen my brother in the pink suit jacket back here. And I thought, Lord, that brightened my day right there. Amen. You got batteries attached to that thing back there, you know. But what a joy it is to be a part of the family of God, and so thankful for the local church that God has put here in this part of the country and this part of the world to be a lighthouse for lost souls that are dying and going to hell. And you may be a member here, and you may feel like you're insignificant. You're just a member of the church, but that's a lie of the devil. All of us have a piece to play and a part to play inside the local church, and it's a joy to get to come here and see a healthy, vibrant church where people are serving the Lord with gladness. You walk on this property, and there's people at every single door with big smiles on their faces, shaking your hands, and I have been to enough churches where I felt like they didn't even want me there when I got there. So it's a joy to get to come somewhere like this. So I appreciate the opportunity to get to spend a little bit of time with you in Sunday school, and I hope that our time together will be effective and will be a blessing and an encouragement to you. So that's what our desire is. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. We're going to start reading in verse number 10. And before we read, I want to give you a little bit of background. It is 10:07. What time do y'all usually get out of here? 10:45? Is that a good quit time? Is that too long? Is that good? All right, the deacon said go. All right. Paul, probably the greatest Christian that you read about in your scripture, a magnificent testimony of salvation, walking down that road and the light shines and God deals with him and talks to him and radically changes and transforms his life. The missionary journeys and all that Paul did that was bringing glory to God and effectiveness to the kingdom of God, ran his race, fought his fight, did a wonderful work in his day and hour. All the things that we have read and studied and taught about the life of Paul, by the time we get to chapter number 4 here, we find Brother Paul at the end of his race. This is his farewell speech in so many ways. And I think it's important that we understand that we should have a great desire to finish well. I've learned, 37 years old now, and I've started to learn that it's easy to start stuff. But it's a whole other thing to maintain it and finish it well. And I believe all of us ought to have a desire to finish well for the Lord. Don't you? I want to hear those words when I get to heaven. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. I want to finish well. And I want you to imagine this morning, for the sake of this message, this is Paul, the senior man of God, talking to young Timothy, who is the one that he is mentoring and teaching. And I want you to not just read the text, but I want you to imagine as we read this text that this is Paul pouring himself and investing himself in Timothy, telling him what he went through, what he experienced, and in so many ways preparing Timothy for what he's going to have to deal with in his ministry. Paul chose to do this by naming names. He told the people that was involved in his ministry and in his life, and just by a short study of these names and these people, we can kind of understand a little bit, grasp of the big picture of what Paul went through in his journeys. So let's look at these people. In verse number 9, he said, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me." Here goes Paul talking to Timothy. "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia." Verse number 11, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Titus have I sent to Ephesus, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus. When thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments." Verse 14, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. the Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Verse number 17, I love this verse. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Amen. And strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. I want to teach on this subject this morning. Who's with me? Who's with me? Much of life, of what we claim, it has a whole lot to do with relationships. And I'm thankful that God will put people around you and people in your life. God will not only call you to do something, but God will put the people around you that you need to fulfill the calling that God has placed on your life. Many of you, God has called you to be a Christian and to live this Christian life. So what does God do? God gives you a good, solid, local New Testament church, Bible-believing church. Why? Because God knew you would need the relationships that you find in this church to help support you. There's days where, I'll be honest, there's days I come in and I'm on fire for God, and I'll try to rub off on somebody else that's discouraged and try to encourage them. Why? Because there's a day coming soon where I'm the one that's going to be fighting the devil all week long. I'm going to come to church and need some encouragement myself. That's how it works. God knew that we would need each other. It is an arrogant man or an arrogant lady that says this, I don't need anybody. I can do this by myself. That is a lie of the devil. We need each other, do we not? It means a lot to me when people walk up to me and say, Brother Townsend, I've been praying for you. That lets me know that somebody took time out of their day to get down on their knee. I love Sunday morning because I get a rush of text from pastors that I preach from all across this country just saying, we're praying for you today. We're praying for you today. And that lifts my spirit knowing that we have people that are with us. Paul here does not just talk about the good people that were in his life. But he talks about the good, the bad, the ugly, those that were with him, those that were against him. And I think it's interesting that in your King James Bible, he starts with a man by the name of Demas. If you're taking notes this morning, Demas was characterized as being a forsaker. Demas was a forsaker. The Bible talks about Demas here in verse number 10, I believe it is. It says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Greece is to Galatia and Titus unto Dalmatia. He said, Demas hath forsaken me. Paul, seated in this chair, begins his conversation about his ministry, talking about a man named Demas. I can almost hear the pain in his voice as he talks about somebody that didn't just hurt him and leave, but some of the greatest hurts that we will face are due to people that were with us, that left us. People that at one time were on our team, that left, ran off, departed, forsook us, and ran off. Some of the greatest hurts that I counsel with people about, church hurts, people hurts, is when they go through the process of a breakup or a nasty divorce maybe, or pastors that really leaned upon certain people in the church, and they just, for one reason or another, one day looked the preacher in the eye and said, we're out of here, we're gone, and now that preacher is left with all the emotions of, well, what did I do wrong? What did I not say? What did I not do? Or maybe you're here and you've had some friends and something happened, something got involved, and it wasn't even your fault, but there was a nasty break there and somebody forsook you and left you. Some of the greatest pains in life that people deal with is the grief and the residue that's left behind, wondering, what did I do? Why would they leave me? Why would they go? Demas was a forsaker. It's as if Paul is saying, Demas, or as if Paul is saying, Timothy, I love you. I believe you're only going to do good, but you're going to have to prepare yourself for the truth that not everybody that's with you now will be with you tomorrow. Not everybody that is shouting you on right now will be shouting you on tomorrow. How many of y'all know, here's a good West Virginia word, how many of y'all know that people can be fickle at times? When everything's good, they're on board. But at the very first sign of trouble, they're gone. When I first started out in evangelism, one of the greatest blessings that God did for me was letting me have impact and influence on young people. And we started these youth rallies, and hundreds and hundreds of teenagers and churches would come in, and we would have the opportunity to preach the gospel to them. And out of that sprung up a youth camp and youth conferences and all these different things. And I am a 37-year-old teenager, I feel like, on the inside. I'll be honest, I get a little more sore than I used to. And I've got two brand new ACLs in my knees from trying to be a teenager, you know. I got a little something growing here that's a little more effective on my knees than it used to be, you know. And I enjoy getting out playing and spending time with the young people. And so one day at camp, we have what they call water balloon launchers. And we would get the kids to mass produce these water balloons. And they make these thick gauge rubber band water balloon launchers that literally you can shoot a water balloon the length of a football field. It is amazing. It's wonderful. And so in my mind, we bring the water balloon launcher because not for the good kids, but them kids that won't go to bed when we tell them to go to bed. And them kids that sass back at the teachers and the people that try to take care of them. And so the camp is set up. There's a big lake, a big pond at the bottom, and then it's Roly Hills and up in the northern part of South Carolina before you get to the western mountains of North Carolina. In a little town called Travelers Rest, South Carolina, there's a camp called Awanata, and we would go up there and we would have that camp. Well, at the top of the base where one of the lodges is, it's up on a hillside, and there's all kinds of trees. So we hid behind those trees, and all the kids that were down there playing volleyball and in a canoe in the water, we were picking out kids that had been getting on our nerves, and we was launching them water balloons down the hill. And you got to be a real good aim to hit those kids. But how many of y'all know with the Lord we can do all things? Amen. You know, so we got those water balloons. And boy, me and my best friend is Jared Dixon. My other friend on this side is named Heath Williams. Jared was the song leader at Bristol. Heath was the event coordinator. He does all the behind-the-scenes stuff for the tent. And we've been working together for years. And so they're over there, and they're holding those water balloon launchers. They hold like one hand this guy, and this guy holds one hand over here, and then that water balloon launcher has a pocket, and you put the water balloon in, and literally you pull that thing back, and you see their arms doing like this, trying to hold that thing, and I'm a little bit more, a little bit more. Big Johnny's down there, you know, and I'm a little to the left, a little to the right, and woof, and that thing, like a shotgun, fires out of that thing. And the most wonderful moments of all camp is just watching kids walk like this, and all of a sudden, you know, just, I mean, just going down through there, you know. And so we're having a blast, and you know, we was picking people off, and we're behind trees. They think God's mad at them, just dropping water balloons. They don't have a clue who's hitting them with these water balloons, and we're having a good time. Well, some kids had saw around the other side what's going on, so they started coming up in there, and they were making more water balloons, and they were telling us people to hit, and we were having a big time. Before we know it, I've got 350 teenagers up on this hillside like it's a pep rally. I mean, get them, Brother CT. Get them. Get the lifeguard. Get them, Brother CT. This is the best camp we've ever been to. Yeah, I mean, we're just having a ball, you know, and about that time, down the road, after we've been doing it for an hour or so, and down the road, the owner of the camp had a son that helped around the camp. He was probably 25 years old at the time. He's a big old fella, and he was a redneck. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, bet you can't hit me, preacher. You don't tell me that. You don't tell me that I can't, you know. He's sitting in the road down there in between us and the people we're shooting at, and he starts revving up his engine. Well, by this point, everybody, he's done gave away our position. All them other people know. And so he rolled, you know, he sits the truck. Well, I wound that thing back and hit the side of that truck. It's a good old, big old work truck, but I put a big old dent in the side of that truck with that water balloon. You know it's a water balloon launcher when it puts a dent in a truck. And so when I hit that truck, everybody's like, ah, you know. And he's like, that was a lucky one, preacher. I bet you can't do it again. By this time, he has rolled down his passenger side window and is sticking his head out. Saying, I bet you can't do it again. Y'all know what that means. Lord, my head hurts, my stomach hurts, can't find my cigarettes. That's all that means. I said, I bet I can. I got that water balloon launcher. I pulled that thing back. I revved that thing back, and he's revving that engine. The window's wide open. And I said, even so, Lord, grab this water balloon like you did with David and Goliath and lead it into that car. And I, you know, you lose your ability to think of what's really going to happen if that water balloon does go inside that car. You don't even think, you know, it's such a competition. You got 300 some kids yelling behind you. It's just a euphoric moment where you're like, let's get it done. And I pulled that thing back and released that water balloon, and it was perfect. I mean, the trajectory was amazing. And here goes this water balloon, and it's doing a little bit of a curve to it. And honestly, it happens so fast. All I remember is before I shot, I bet you can't do it again, preacher. And about that time I released it, I seen in slow motion him putting his head like this, trying to see where that water balloon was. And before he could even get his eye on that balloon went through the window and boosh, right on his face. To me, it was mission accomplished. It was as if he was knocked out. I mean, no movement, no car noise, engine revved down. And I thought, oh, God, I've killed him. Oh, Lord. And after a little, you know, everybody's like, ah, yeah. Well, the truck finally got a little motion, and you couldn't even see in the car at this point. But he began to change his trajectory and began to come up the hill towards me. He was way bigger than me. And I began to think, oh, Lord, he's going to whoop the preacher. I'll never forget, he got and pulled up that hill to where we were, got from me to where that door was, and got out of his truck. And the whole side of his face where that water was, his eye was swollen shut, blood pouring out his nose. And he said, CT, would you help me get to the nurse's station? I can't see. I'm thinking, I'm never going to get to do camp ever again. I said, yeah. I said, Heath and Jared. They were all gone. I mean, Jared's nowhere to be found. Heath is nowhere to be found. I got teenagers that ain't read their Bible all week. They're up propped beside of a tree, acting like they're doing devotions, you know. And, you know, I thought, well, just a moment ago, we was having a blast. But now, since it looks like we're in trouble, I'm the only one here. It's a funny story, but life is full of that. We think people are with us. We think people are for us. But hear me, we must understand that when things get tough, people leave mighty, mighty fast. Demas hath forsaken me. I would love to tell you. I'd love to stand here and encourage you and tell you that everybody that you love right now will be with you the rest of your life. But I'd have to be lying to you. It's a part of your journey. It's a part of your mission. Whoever told you that you're going to live your whole life and never be hurt, they lied to you. Amen. Demas hath forsaken me. Having love of this present world, he's forsaken. Second of all, we have Luke. Where Demas was a forsaker, Luke was a friend. Paul tells Timothy, you're going to have your Demases. You're going to have those that leave you, that never give an explanation. They were with you, now they're not with you, and you're left with the wounds of wondering what you should have or could have done differently to salvage that relationship. sometimes the departing of what was considered to be a friend is of the Lord. Not everybody that's in your life today is meant to be in your life tomorrow. Life, God uses people to build your life. Life and friends and relationships are much like scaffolding. When a building goes to being built, they do what? They put the scaffolding on the outside, and they use that scaffolding to build the frame and put everything and put the stucco and get all the pretty. How silly would it be for a building to be finished and the scaffolding to stay up? When the building's finished, the scaffolding must come down. Some people that are in your life are scaffolding. God uses them for a season in your life to build you where, and then when God is done with that season of your life, the scaffolding must come down. And you're fighting God at times when you try to keep some relationships in your life that just aren't designed to be there for the next season. And so we see Demas was a forsaker, but Luke was a friend. Yes, Timothy, you're going to have Demas's, but you're also going to have Luke's that will stand with you through the trials and the storms of life. You've heard it said, if you can say you've got one true friend, you can count yourself a very lucky individual. I'm thankful today for the friends that God has given me. I'm thankful today for those that have stuck in there and been what I consider to be true blue friends. They're the ones that don't come to you and say, give me. They're the ones that say, how can we help? True blue friends are the ones that come into your life, and when everything's good, they're encouraging, and when everything's bad, they don't change a bit. And in this life, I have found that God will provide friends. You say, well, I don't have friends. Have you been meeting the prerequisite of having a friend? The Bible says a man that hath friends, what? Must show himself friendly. It's not a one-way street. You must reciprocate. You must be the friend that you would love to have. And I promise you, God will put those people in life. And he said, I've got a friend. And boy, as I read that, I started thinking about people in my life that are friends. People that will stick with me and stick, you know, that really keep me going in the times of life. I think about my little boy, Tucker. He's my son, but he's my buddy. He's my friend, and I think about if there's no other reason for me to stick in this fight, he's a good reason. He's a good reason. The people that God puts in your life that encourage you, I can fight the devil. I can fight discouragement and come in my house and Tucker or Siler or Everly, when I've been gone for 3 or 4 days off preaching somewhere and I walk in the door and I start hearing them feet going all over the floor, Daddy's home, Daddy's home. And it's a race to see who I pick up first, you know, and they jump in my arms. Those are people that God put in my life permanently. And boy, when they jump in my arms, my heart swells, and I'm a crybaby. Many times I've missed them, and tears go to run down my eyes. And I think about the people that God has put in my life. I think about the friends, the people all across this country. God has given me people that are friends. And hear me, here's why I bring this up. If we're not careful, we will spend all of our time trying to turn Demas's back into a friend at the expense of ignoring the real friends that we have. Am I the only person in this room that has a good running list of my Demases? Yeah. I'm in the spirit this morning, but I remember everybody that has done me wrong. Amen. And I pray for them like David prayed for his enemies sometimes. Amen right there. But I have a running list of Demas's. And there are times I got this problem. I want everybody to like me. I want everybody to be friends with me. I have a genuine love for people. I don't want to play church politics. I don't want to fight with brethren. I don't want to fight. I believe that we're on the same team. If you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection, I believe we're to be a united force to preach the gospel to the corners of the earth. And I'm like, I don't want to fight these little skirmishes and these little battles. And if I'm not careful, I'll spend all of my time trying to talk to that one person that says, well, I don't like him. But you know what I've learned? People's opinions are like armpits. Everybody's got them, and all of them stink. And you're not ever ever going to win everybody. Not everybody's going to like you. You're not the brand of everybody. And I find myself at times working so hard to get a Demas to turn into a Luke, when in reality, a Demas is always going to be a Demas, and a Luke is always going to be. Who deserves my time? My Lukes do. My Tucker, my Siler, my Everly. The time that I waste over there, I could be investing over here. I would challenge you today with a little bit of homework to go home and write you a list of your Lukes. The Bible said he was with him. Only Luke is with me. Think about the people in your life that are with you. Write down that list and say, Lord, help me to spend more of my time investing and encouraging and loving the people that are with me. The Bible said Demas is with. Demas was a forsaker. Luke was a friend. Here comes Mark. Mark, in the life of Paul, was not necessarily the best friend that he went on fishing trips with, but Mark was profitable. Mark was a facilitator. Mark was somebody that God put in his life, knowing that Paul could not do what he was called to do if it was not for the life of Mark. Watch this. So we've got one bad. We've got a Demas here. But now we got two people that Paul talks about. We got a friend, and then we got a facilitator. That yes, you could spend all your time with your Demas here, but you've got Luke, who's a friend, and you got Mark, who is profitable. These people in your life, you got to make up your mind. Are you going to focus on the one negative over here, or are you going to look at the people in your life that are made there to help you? Demas was a forsaker. Luke was a friend. Mark was a facilitator. And then we see another one. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. Now there's a difference here between Demas, who was a forsaker, and Alexander the coppersmith, who was a fighter. I believe as much as Luke was sent into the life of Paul to be a friend, I believe that Alexander was sent by the devil to be a fighter. We must pray, please listen to this. We must pray that God gives us high levels of discernment on who we allow into our lives. You hear me? I'm going to say it again. We must pray that God gives us great levels of discernment on who we allow into our lives. As a parent, I had a friend here last night who's got a girl that just turned 14, 15, 16 years old. And we was talking. He said, I'm already beating boys up over chasing after my daughter. And I think that's important, because how many of you know that not every boy in the world is meant for your daughter? Amen. Mine's 3 years old, and I already got shotguns sitting by the door, you know, waiting. But it's important, because we know this, that the wrong person can get in a family, get in a life, get in a church, and destroy everything. Alexander was a fighter. Alexander, every time he turns around, Alexander is fighting him. And if you're going to live in this life and do something for God, the truth is, we're going to know what it feels like to have somebody fight against us. But I'm fighting a good fight. I'm doing something good. It don't matter. The devil doesn't like what you're doing. And he's going to put people in your life that are going to be opposition against your calling and what God is trying to do. I'd like to bring attention to this fact of how we are to handle Alexanders. Look what Paul said about Alexander. Somebody tell me what verse that is. Alexander, 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. Watch this. The Lord reward him according to his works. The older Paul got, the more he talked like Jesus. What did Jesus say when they crucified him? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What's Paul saying about his Alexander? The Lord reward him according to his works. You know what he's doing there? He's taking the ability to react back at Alexander out of his hands and putting it in God's hands. Am I the only person in this room that's still country enough that when somebody does me wrong, there's a react? I need you men. I need y'all to be honest and don't make me feel so bad up here. When somebody does me wrong or does our wife wrong or our kids wrong, there is a great reaction in me to turn into the green incredible hawk and rip their heads off. Amen. Hallelujah. Am I the only person? Y'all perfect Christians in here. There's something in us that think, if you do me wrong, I will get you back. That is not how the kingdom works. God, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I've lived long enough now to see that God does take care of business. Somebody may get out of line, and the wheels of God's judgment may grind slowly, but they grind surely. And God will fix what somebody does wrong. Amen. Amen. Alexander was a fighter. And Paul just turned him over to the Lord and said, Lord, you deal with him. How many of y'all know the Lord can deal with somebody at a greater rate than you can deal with them? Lord, you deal with him. I challenge some of y'all to quit being bitter and angry at somebody and just turn them over to God. And let God deal with it. Because God, how many of y'all know God sees it all? You ever been in a situation where you knowed you was right, but to everybody else it looked like you was wrong and you couldn't convince nobody otherwise? How many of y'all are glad that God sees the truth of all things? I'm nearly done. Demas was a forsaker. Luke was a friend. Mark was a facilitator. Alexander was a fighter. And then lastly here, verse number 16 and 17. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. There he is praying like Jesus again. Notwithstanding, verse 17, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Demas was a forsaker. Luke was a friend. Mark was a facilitator. Alexander was a fighter. But look at this last one. The Lord was faithful. Paul stands there and begins to testify to Timothy and tells him about all these people that were involved. I see him running from the beginning of his ministry to the end of his ministry. He talks about Demas. He talks about Luke. He talks about Mark. He talks about Alexander. And I see tears welling up in the eyes of Paul as he gets down to the end and said, at my first answer, no man stood with me. The greater I did, the more I did, the less people I had with me. But Timothy, let me testify to you about through it all, in the good and in the bad, in the ups and in the downs, when everybody left me. And well, I know it's Sunday school, but I feel like preaching now. And I know when everybody else left and went away, there was one that stood with me, and he was the Lord. He was a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And aren't you glad this morning that no matter what you go through, and no matter what you're dealing with, and no matter what the doctor say or the banker says or the lawyer says, that if we've got Jesus living on the inside, we have the joy of knowing that no matter what we go through, we have a God that will stand with us and wait with us and be with us in the midst of the trial. I thank God for that verse. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And we look in here and we act so churchy this morning, but the truth is there are problems represented in this room. There are family struggles represented in this room. And the truth of the Word of God is that you have a God that will stand with you. There are times you don't even recognize that He's there. But when we get down the end of the journey, we can look back and say, God was with me every step of the journey. He was with me when I couldn't feel Him. He was with me when I did feel Him. When I was in my lowest valley, He was there to help me climb. And when I was on the mountaintop, He was there to help me rejoice. I'm thankful that we've got a God that is with us. He's with you today. He's in this room. His promise was this: if two or three would come together, would gather together in my name, I'll be there. I don't know where he is, but he's in here somewhere. I know he's right here inside my heart. He's with us. And that's all I want to encourage you this morning. To be encouraged. Today's Sunday. Tomorrow's Monday. Something's going to come in your life and get you all anxiety and get everything up in the air. But remind yourself and learn to preach to yourself. Jesus is with me today. He has not left me. He will not leave me today. He's on my side. He's for me. And if God be for me, who can be against me? Father, I pray you'd help us. Thank you for this wonderful time of Sunday school. Thank you for your word. I thank you, God, that when everybody else walks out, you walk in. And you are a faithful friend. I thank you, God, for this wonderful group of people. I pray, God, that something that was said encouraged them and helped them and gave them what they stand in need of today. Lord, we thank you for all that you do and all that you are. We give you the glory for that. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. And amen.